This is where we start to lose business.
Can handle that objection before it ever happens.
This was not clear about when we're going to talk, why we're going to talk, or what this guy's going to get out of another conversation with a salesperson.
Use it as an opportunity, as a positive instead of a negative.
Cash Call, everybody. Dale Archdeacon, Brian Curtis back for another week. Brian fortunately got the memo. It's pink polo day.
You have to be confident to pull certain things off, and I've been working on my confidence, so I'm trying to pull this shirt off. We'll see how it goes.
Good job. I got a call today. This is one where I'm listening to the agent, and the lead is saying that they aren't seeing what they want, and I think that it's a good lesson in where you want to revisit some motivation, you want to revisit some rapport, you want to try to push to get face-to-face. Because as you and I both know, when we're working these leads, we're working these nurtures, the longer, I mean, sometimes they come back around, they like come into our orbit and we can keep them sort of in our sphere. Tell me if you agree with this or not. The longer that a lead floats out there in space, a nurture, the more opportunity there is for them to bump into another agent, for them to see something at an open house, for them to walk into a builder's unit without us. There's just like more opportunity for us to lose them. And I prefer to try and get face to face or video to video with somebody as quickly as I can.
100%. I heard a stat yesterday. I don't know how accurate it is. I've heard different versions of it. So my stat was 64%. I heard 81% yesterday. I don't know which one is real, but it's probably someplace in between. That still, even today, over 65%, we'll use that number, of people still work with the first agent they meet in person. I want you guys to think about how powerful that is.
You said 64 or 80 something? So, we're not sure.
So somewhere, I've heard 64 for years, and then somebody told me yesterday it was 81. So someplace in between those two numbers. It doesn't matter. It's definitely more than 50%. So here's what I'm saying. Meeting somebody in person, just on its face, gives you a 50% chance, even if you're not good at this.
Agreed. I mean, it's important.
Think about that. That's powerful.
It is. So let's play an example of that, and I'll show you where I think this should be integrated.
Hey, this is Taylor Cookwell, the real estate agent you met about a month ago.
Hey, Dana, how are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to call and check in and see if there's anything I could do for you if you guys were still looking for a home.
A month ago, and this is the first time that you're, quote, checking in? That's not good, right? Now, maybe the agent is really busy. Maybe the agent has a lot of leads, okay? Maybe that's the case. If you really couldn't have followed up with somebody that you went to the effort of showing a house to, then maybe you need to manage your lead flow a little bit. You need to manage your nurtures. Maybe there's somebody on your team that can help you, or a partner or something, because this is where we start to lose business. And as if I'm the team leader, the broker owner, whatever, if I'm the one buying the leads, at the end of the day, we need these deals to close so that it can fund us purchasing more leads and doing more advertising that everybody benefits from. What do you think? I'm sure you agree with that statement, Brian.
I do. And here's something that's interesting. People have this tendency. I've noticed this. We've been working on my team very specifically on database management. Pretty exciting topic. Everyone gets really excited. No, everybody hates it. And it's critical. So what is this? What is that? What Dale had to say have to do with database management? Well, here's what it is. Sometimes people hold on to too many leads. This sounds like a lead that we should have followed up with 3.5 weeks ago. Why didn't they follow up with it? Well, I'm going to say because they were doing such a good job following up with leads that were 6 months, 12 months, 18, 24 months out. We have a tendency to do that. I've noticed that we don't want to let anybody go. Guys, figure out how to take your people who are 6 months or less and make sure that you're following up with them regularly, and then use automation to do some other stuff or get an ISA or get, but you can't miss the right now stuff because your database wasn't organized and you were not following up with people in a timely manner, because you're going to call this person. They go, yeah, I went under contract yesterday. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yep. Let's hear how else this goes.
Yes, we are looking for a home. The problem is we wanted to go into any brand new ones in the Glen Allen area. But there are very, very limited inventory. So that's why we start. I'm looking, sorry, I didn't respond to your message, but I'm looking at that inventory that you're sending. But they are pretty old. That's why I'm not responding back to that.
Yeah, they are older. So what I can do is I can set you up on a search for it to just be newer homes. What was the school you said that you wanted?
The school?
Yeah, did you say that you wanted a certain school district too?
Yeah, the
Okay. All right, cool. So I'll go ahead and set you up on a refined search with just that criteria. That way that stuff can automatically be sent over to you guys.
Now, if I've already shown a house to you, I should have known that, right? I should have had that set up in the search to begin with. And it's been a month now that we've been sending this guy the wrong stuff. Now,
he's not been responding because you're sending him the wrong stuff.
And he's not responding because we sent the wrong stuff. There's a disconnect somewhere, right? We either didn't obtain this information up front, or they made a shift and we didn't catch it because we haven't been in touch with them lately, right? They're opening these emails, right? So they're opening. I showed you a house. You're opening emails. I need to be following up with you faster and say, hey, what do you think of those properties I sent over to you before a month later? And then I would have found out I have the criteria wrong. They're looking for something else and I can change it for them.
Yeah, that was actually, it's so funny. I had the same thought. Like, if you don't have software that you can tell somebody open your email, get that software. Because I use Follow Up Boss. You know, matter of fact, Follow Up Boss is one of the people who, you know, Dale and I are both big fans of. I can see whether somebody opened my email or not. I use Ylopo. Yeah. I can see whether somebody opened my email or not. I'm not sitting here promoting specifically any of those things, but I am going to promote that feature. Why? Hey, Dale, it's Brian. Just checking in to see if you've been getting my emails. I know you have. You opened it up. I'm not going to say that. Right. Oh, yeah, I have it. Perfect. Any of those houses look of interest to you? No, you're sending me stuff that's 20 years older than I want to look at. Okay, great. Yeah. Here was my other thought here with her, and maybe she's going to do it further in the call. But if I screwed up so bad that I'm sending somebody houses that are 20, 30, 40 years older than they want, I'm going to make sure I got my criteria right. Because what I heard was new, and what she said was newer. Those are two very distinct things. I think the client said new. But again, I might have missed it too. There's an accent there that I'm not, you know, there's so I'm missing something.
I'll tell you what happened. He said, okay, we're looking for new construction, but the stuff that you're sending us is old. That's what he said. So she was sending them the wrong stuff.
But do you remember her after that? She said, I'm going to send you stuff that's newer.
Yeah, she said newer. He said new construction. So there's still
which is it? What does he want?
Right. He wants new construction. In this conversation, this agent should take a minute because depending on where you're at, your new construction is probably limited, right?
Usually.
Here's the thing. I want to sell you any house that's going to work for you. And if you say you only want to look at new construction, that drops my list to like this. So I want to have a conversation about that.
Yes.
Right? Now, if I have a conversation with you about what's important about new construction, and we could sort of narrow it down to where you'd prefer new construction, but you'd accept something that was newly renovated, now that just increases my search again. So you want to have that conversation and not just take the answer and be like, okay, great, I'll go change the filter to only give you new construction and cut down how much I send you.
Regardless, we don't know. Would this person live in a house that's 2 years old? I don't know.
Right.
Because there are people who I've met. I've had clients who say, Brian, and it's usually for health reasons. Hey, we don't want anything that has carpet, and we don't want anything that everybody's ever lived in. I'm like, okay. And I started to ask, okay, perfect. I'll find you that out of curiosity. Why? Oh, because my daughter has allergies and blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, now I know what they want, and now I can talk to that. And I'm not going to look like an idiot sending them a house that doesn't meet their criteria because I didn't bother to understand what their needs were. So
yep.
I think it's really important to be willing to ask the question and then actually ask the question. And for me, when somebody tells me I've been sending them the wrong houses, that's a gigantic red flag for me. I'm like, okay, I need to focus immediately because I don't think it's really our function anymore, but clients do. We just got a bad review from somebody because they said the agent didn't find the house for them. They found it themselves on Zillow. I'm like, well, if you spend 3 hours a day on Zillow, how on earth am I going to, you know?
You know, Brian, if I had a nickel for every time I've heard people complain that they found their own house without their agent, like it's some failing of their agent, that the agent didn't find. I'd have a lot of nickels. Yeah. And, you know, I even hear that just casually from like friends or, you know, like outside of the business.
Yep.
Where people don't even know that I'm a real estate agent, right? And you go to a party and they're like, oh my God, we just found our new house. Yeah, our agent didn't even help us at all. We found it ourselves online. You know, how many times have you heard that stuff?
Lots.
And you're like, okay. So yeah, the misconception is like, I don't understand. I really don't understand it actually. because they're like, oh, I want unfettered 24-hour access, and yet I'm going to bash you for not finding that one house that I ended up deciding to buy.
You know what's hilarious to me, though, Dale, and it really is the point. So realistically, to be a successful real estate agent, you have to work with more than one person. I think we can both agree.
Of course.
With that. I'm assuming that our audience is at least working with 5, 7, 10 people at a time. So
hopefully,
I want you to think about it. If you're one person and you're excited about buying a house and you spend 2 hours a day on Zillow looking at a house in location X between this price range and this price range, the truth of the matter is you probably know the inventory better than I do.
Yeah.
Because I can't spend 3 hours a day on 10 clients.
Right.
There's literally not enough hours in the day. So I understand the market overall, but yeah. And it's really funny. And I think that comes down to a thing that I've been doing with people where we find out what they're looking for in their agent. So watch this. If I ask you a question, what do you look for? Well, I expect my agent to be scouring the market and finding houses for me. Guess what? I can handle that objection before it ever happens and explain to that person, I'm going to send you everything, but please understand if you're going to spend 2 to 3 hours a day on the internet looking in you're going to know it as well as I am, because now that is not true. We as an industry have decided to share all that information with you, the public.
Like, right.
Yeah. Make it something that's good for
you. I think you build this into your buyer presentation. You build it into the conversation that you have with your clients. And in fact, what I'd probably do within my buyer presentation is I would say, hey, here's how this is going to work. I have myself set up an alert for you. I have you set up on an alert through my MLS. Here's my website. Here's how you search in my website. Here's Zillow. Here's Redfin. Here's these other websites. Use any and all of them. Here's what you do. This is all about speed. If you see something that hasn't been emailed to you yet, you text it or email it over to me or my assistant right away, and we will book that appointment. But if we work together, then we'll have the best shot at finding the right home when it pops up. If it's just me, then it might not happen as quickly. So we'll work together on this. I mean, I feel like you just get in front of it.
I would disagree with you on one thing.
Go for it.
And that is, I would never tell someone to look on Zillow or Realtor.com or Redfin, because that's how they end up having other agents contact.
Well, what you say is you send it over to me. Don't click on it or try to book it through there, because what will happen is you'll get sent out to multiple agents and they will chase you around and try to get you to work with them. So this is part of, like, it takes your button-up script and also blends here's the resources. Like, I'm not going to hide from you the fact that this stuff exists. In fact, I'm going to put it in front of you. Use the one that you find most convenient. Here's the process for that. Do it this way, which is send it to me or my assistant. Don't reach out to them directly, because you're going to hate life after you do.
And I agree that you should definitely cover that in some way. And then, so like my website, I have a Ylopo website. I can say to people this, by the way, you can look any place you want. My request is that you look on my website. Here's why. Because if you see a property on my website and you like it, you click one button, it favorites it, and I know about it. So it'll make sure that it makes it convenient. You don't have to text it to me. You don't have to screenshot it. You don't have to. You just literally hit this little button right here that says favorite, and I know it's one of your favorites.
Maybe what we could do also then is, if you have a good one, right? So we use Follow Up Boss, Real Geeks, Ylopo, all that stuff too. So you could say, hey, here's the resources. Go here. Here's how it works. We've already set up an account for you. You can modify your search at any time yourself. If you happen to see something out in the world on a different website anywhere, all you have to do is grab either the MLS number or the address, come back to my site, enter it in, and click favorite. And then I will get alerted that you like that property. And then you can tell them otherwise. If you go out on one of those websites and you enter your info, you're going to get pepper sprayed by real estate agents.
I used to make the joke during a phone call that, hey, you know, save my phone number. That way, if you don't want to talk to me, you don't have to, just kind of as a joke. And by the way, you know, the other thing that's going to happen is if you go and fill these things out, you're going to have this 20-minute conversation over and over and over again. You don't want that, do you? You know, I would say something like that. I'm trying to give a pain point, you know, and say, look, if you want your phone to blow up, like Gal was saying, this is a great way to do it. Hit this button on Zillow and 25 agents will call you and you will be miserable.
Right.
You can just keep working with me, which makes more sense for you.
If you're really lonely and bored, you can get 25 salespeople to talk to you real fast. Let me finish doing this call.
Sounds good.
All right. Perfect. Well, let me know if you end up liking any of the listings and you want to check them out.
Yep. Sounds, sure. And the latest one, you sent that from the Gray Oaks one, right? Which is like a, is it like a 2008 built?
Yes.
Did you check that house for any other clients?
No, I haven't been inside of it yet. No. I don't know if they've already gone under contract yet, just because those homes usually go under contract within the first like week.
Got it. Okay. All right.
Two things here. If you go back and you listen to how this call went, essentially the agent said, hey, I showed you a house a month ago, wanted to see if you're still buying, right? We already identified that that was a problem. And he says, yes, we're still looking, but we're looking for new construction. You keep sending me old properties. And she says, okay, I'll send you newer ones, right? So we identified that there's a disconnect here in what this guy will look at or what he will do. And then she says, what school district? He gives her two school districts. Here's what I would say. I wrote in my notes at that about at minute 120. This is only a 2-minute call. I wrote down here at minute 120, here's where you revisit motivation. It's been a month since I talked to you, right? I've been sending you the wrong properties. You said you haven't seen anything you wanted yet. Let's go back to your motivation. Hey, what's important to you guys about making a move? Refresh my memory. I mean, I have some notes here, but you know, why is it that you wanted to get moved in the first place? What is it that you didn't like about this current home? What are you looking to change? Bring up the pain, bring up the motivation again, because it's been a long time and you need to build more rapport with these people, and just do a check-in and see if anything has changed, because clearly a lot has changed already. And then we hear him say at about 1 minute, 27 seconds, he's like asking about a property. And he said, did you go look at that for anyone else? And she said, no, I haven't seen it. And basically says like, I don't know if it's under agreement or not. Just pivot to, let's go take a look at it, right? Like,
thank you.
Let's get face to face. This is what we started talking about when we first started this call. Let's get face to face. Let's go see something. Let's go see this one or something else, right? But try to get with him.
I had that thought. I also had this thought, is the law of reciprocity. Hey, you know, unfortunately, I haven't been able to look at that. Is this something, you know, I've got time available today or tomorrow. Would you want to go? You know what? I don't have time right now. You know what? I'd be happy to do for you, Dale. I'm going to be in that area tomorrow afternoon anyway. Why don't I do this? Why don't I take a video tour? We can either do it live or recording. Which of those would you prefer? So when I do something for somebody, whether they know it or not, they feel obligated to do something for me. It's called the law of reciprocity. Create situations of actual value, not giving people stuff that doesn't have value, where you can do that. Again, I like the idea of meeting them in person first, but what if they say no to that? You know what? You obviously are interested in this house. It's not going to stay on the market very long because these houses move really quickly. As a matter of fact, most of them go under contract in a week is basically what she said. So why don't I do this? Why don't I run over there later on today, get a video of it, and if you really like it, then we need to find time. Because that makes, you know, show them that you want to help them buy a house, not that my, again, this was one of my least favorite things that she did in there too, was if you see anything that you like, let me know. No. Hey, I'm going to send you a list of new houses. Should I follow up with you later on today or tomorrow to figure out which one of those might work for you? I mean,
let's go through them together.
Make an exponential step.
Yeah, I'm going to send you this list over, right? I'll give you a call tomorrow afternoon. We'll take like 5 minutes. Let's just talk through them about what works or doesn't work.
Perfect.
Easy, right?
But literally, Dale gave them a reason to accept his phone call. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That sounds like a good idea, Dale. I really appreciate that. He gave him a reason to answer the phone.
Let's hear how she wraps this up. I think it's just like a call me.
All righty. Well, I will talk to you soon. Let me know if you have any questions also.
Sure. Thanks, Dale.
Have a good one. Bye.
Nope. I'll talk to you soon. Let me know if you have any questions. All right. So logical next step is what we teach, right?
Yep.
When are we going to talk next? Why are we going to talk next? What is the prospect going to get out of it? This was not clear about when we're going to talk, why we're going to talk, or what this guy's going to get out of another conversation with a salesperson. That's how we teach to wrap things up.
Yeah. And I think it's so important. Guys, I think we all know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. They're not calling you back.
Not usually.
There's an exception to that, of course. But for the most part, if you don't set up a system for them to follow up with you or you to follow up with them, the latter being better, you're probably never going to talk to them again.
Yeah.
They're going to run into a salesperson like me or Dale, and we're going to capture them.
Right.
Because we're not the only people who are good at this, right? You know, there's tons of great real estate agents out there. You need to be one of them.
We are the best. Absolutely. And there's other ones that are good too. So, yeah.
There's people who listen to our show and they might be your competition.
Yeah. There are other fans of our show and they're competing with you. All right. What do you got for us, Brian?
This call is really long. And what I keyed in on here was missed opportunities. The person gives information and the agent doesn't take the opportunity to show some value. And I think that's killing us right now. Those of you watching, every phone call should be like a puzzle. And one of the questions, one of the puzzle problems you're trying to solve is, how do I provide value? How do I make this person want to work with me? I ask myself those questions constantly when I'm making phone calls. And I don't feel like enough people are asking that. What I feel like people are asking, whether they're doing it consciously or unconsciously, is, how can I make this person happy? That's not our job. Our job is to provide services that get them to their goals, wants, and needs, not to make them feel good. If they feel good, that's a bonus, but that's not what we're after. So I feel like we're doing not enough selling. And I guess that's the theme of mine for the last couple of weeks, is there's just not enough selling going on in my world, and I need to work on it. So let's listen to it.
Hello, this is Eugenie with Curtis Realty Group. Realtor.com just transferred us, transferred me to you, I guess. Are you looking at some property in Northwest Arkansas?
I'm
not going to explain it because I feel like we do this all the time. Have a better intro script. I'm just going to leave it at that.
I may be, but it's really too soon for us to reach out to realtors.
Note that this call was made in June. So this call was made this month. And listen to what she's about to say.
I don't know why I was connected that quickly.
Just it's somewhere down the horizon.
It might be, yeah. I mean, we're coming out there in August.
So, Dale, it's June. The person's coming in August. Are we talking to the realtor too soon?
No, we're not. No, we're not. And I'm still confused. Is this an inquiry? Did somebody inquire on realtor.com did they just register?
It lets you fill out for a home. So every realtor.com inquiry is about a specific property.
Okay.
And so this person is actually an email lead. So what happens is the person went and filled out a form about this piece of property that she's interested in. And then that came to our system. And then this agent called the client is what happened.
Okay. So yeah, I want to go back to the beginning. The agent needs to tighten that up and say, hi, this is Name with Curtis Realty Group. Realtor.com just sent me over a property inquiry that you made on address. Right. And then we're either going to ask them a pick a path question or just one question. Either one question is, do you want to book a time to go see the property in person? Or the pick a path is, do you have questions about it? Or would you like to book a time to go see it? Like, this is your intro script. Now, let's say the prospect says back to me, oh, hey, well, I don't know about that. It's just too early for us to reach out to realtors. I would say, oh, got it. Hey, no worries. That's a common, misconception sometimes that people have. When you filled out that property inquiry, it goes to a real estate agent. Are you interested in that property or not? Right? Like,
sure.
That's how I'm going to just redirect you back. Okay, let's go back to the action you took and how you ended up in my office. And let's just start from there, right? Because she's already trying to reject me as a salesperson when I'm only talking to her because she took the action.
You know, it was interesting. This woman said, I didn't expect someone to reach out to me that quickly. The reason I point that out is it's unbelievably ridiculous, but you need to understand how to deal with it because it happens a lot. There's no question about when you're going to move on the realtor.com form. So what does this woman expect, that we fill it out and we magically know when she wants to move? So I didn't expect someone to reach out that quickly. Were you expecting it tomorrow? Were you expecting it next week? And I'm not saying that to be a jerk. I'm saying that to say that's what's going to happen. It happens more often than it makes my head hurt. Like, I realize, and granted, we're in this industry, but if I go to a website and fill out my name, phone number, and email address, I should expect to get a phone call, a text message, and an email. That's why we ask for that information. But yeah. I just want you guys to know that the public doesn't seem to understand.
No, they don't understand that. And also, you know, there are a lot of websites out there and a lot of agents who don't follow up with their leads. So it's not uncommon to go fill out several forms and have absolutely nothing happen. And then you get to one company that actually does take action and they follow up. And then you're like, whoops. Didn't know that was going to happen.
So let's throw a script in there. Hey, you know, we have a partnership with Realtor.com and we've made an agreement with them. The second somebody fills out a form, to make sure that they get any wants or needs answered immediately. Doesn't that feel like a good plan to you? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Use it as an opportunity, as a positive instead of a negative, right? This one's kind of like it's a little bit of a negative. Just say, look, we've partnered with them and we are on it. We want to make sure that we're going to do a great job for you. By the way, this is how we do everything. We stay on top of it.
I think the only reason that it's a negative, if you listen to what this consumer is saying, she's telling us that what an agent means to her is that you only talk to them or interact with them when you're ready to buy something. And she's basically saying, I'm not ready to buy something, which means I'm not supposed to be talking to an agent yet. And so when you hear that, you can say exactly what you just said. Hey, we partner with Realtor.com to respond to people as quickly as possible to get any questions they have answered. It sounds like you're way early in the process, and that's pretty normal, and that's okay. So do you live in the area? Are you relocating to this area, right? Just go to your typical questions. It's okay. Flow right through it.
So let's listen to what happens. It's kind of interesting, and I feel like the agent misses an opportunity to provide value.
To kind of tour around the area and make sure that it feels like someplace we want to end up. And if that's the case, then we were going to contact somebody and start looking for some properties.
But
But if you want, I mean, we haven't contacted anybody yet. So if you want to keep us on your radar.
Well, absolutely. And I can send you my information. So if you get closer to August and you just want to kind of look at what the house styles are we have here, you know, we could go look at any. That's no big deal. That's that's always fun. That way you kind of know what's available at whatever.
For Elise Newman.
Sorry about that.
I mean, I'll tell you that like the top of our list would be to find empty land, like anywhere from 2 to 5 acres, where we could build a house and a guest house.
Okay. This is a red flag. For me personally, I don't know what you think about this. Whenever somebody talks about building a house or raw land, the first thing
it's
I want to know.
One of my least favorite things.
Oh, yeah. First thing I want to know is, have you ever done it before? Okay. The likelihood that you're going to go build a house if you've never done it before is probably 1 in 1,000 or 10,000. Would you say? Is that a good number?
Most people, when I give them any information, they're like, well, I don't want to do that.
Right. I've actually consulted custom home building companies. I know what it takes and what the statistics are of people who actually pull the trigger on doing that. And it's very low.
Yes.
So the likelihood that they're going to do that. This is like one of those telltale signs that your buyer's really early in their process when they're still entertaining ideas like this, right? They're like, well, maybe we'll start a settlement on Mars or we'll just buy in Arkansas. I don't know. We got lots of options.
Different, you know, it's the same.
Yeah, right. You're like, you're probably not starting a settlement on Mars. It sounds like we should probably put you in a 3-2 in a nice cul-de-sac.
And so what's going to come here, there's an actual good, this doesn't happen very often, by the way. I agree with what Dale said. The second somebody told me they wanted to build, I immediately went into, okay, here in a second, I'm going to convince them not to build. That's basically was my mindset the entire time I was doing lead generation. But this person has a unique situation and they're trying to solve a unique situation through building. So listen to it. It'll make sense.
To find empty land, like anywhere from 2 to 5 acres, where we could build a house and a guest house. But I know the likelihood of finding that is not terribly high, so we'd also be willing to renovate. But the biggest thing is being able to put two structures on the property. So I don't know. We need to talk to somebody about the logistics of that. If we're within certain city limits, is that even going to be allowed? If we're further out in the country, is it more likely to be allowed there? Would we have to put it under the terms of being a pool house or a guest house to have it be legal?
You remember what the woman said, what this lead said at the very beginning of the call?
She's not ready to talk to an agent. Is that what you're
not ready to talk to an agent? Did you just hear the law library stack of questions that she has, right?
Yes.
And you're not ready to talk to an agent.
Okay. Who's a good person to solve that for you?
Who could I start with to get some answers around this? Maybe an agent. Crazy idea.
It was my complete thought when I'm like, she has this question and this question and this question and this. And by the way, this is what we want as agents. We don't really want it because it's going to make us do a lot of work. But this is what we want as agents. It's an opportunity to provide value.
You know what you do, Brian, for anybody that's listening to this? This is how you create content for your database. This is how you create content for your social media. You take a story like this. Hey, I listened to these guys, or there was this woman one time who had this unique situation where she was relocating and needed two properties on the same parcel and had a mountain of questions and yet thought she wasn't ready to talk to an agent, right? In the end, we got the questions answered for her, and you know, she was under the misconception that she was going to figure it all out by herself. Click here to talk to me or something. I don't know. My point is, you take this story and you tell the story. Even if you're listening to this and this is not your story, you take the story and you write about it, and this becomes content for you, for your database, for your nurtures, for your social media.
And it also can become what I call a third-party story. So let's say, and this didn't happen yet, but let's say that we did everything that Dale and I want you to do. This woman comes to Arkansas and ends up buying a house with this agent, and everything works out perfectly because she provided value, because she did the research, because all of these, because. Now it becomes a third-party story. Next time I'm on the phone, you know, Brian, I'm moving here in about 3 months. I don't even need to talk to an agent yet. Okay, I can really appreciate that. I talk to a lot of people who have that same opinion. Let me tell you about Sally. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, I hadn't even considered that. And all of a sudden, instead of being a salesperson, you're a person communicating what somebody else did and how it worked out for them. And the person's like, okay, I can handle that. That's not a salesperson. Yeah. That's just someone telling me. Third-party stories remove resistance to salespeople.
How about the story about that one time, the last cash call we did, where the woman's like, oh, I'm getting your emails. I haven't seen anything I like. I'll call you when we want to see houses. Oh, what are you doing now? Oh, well, we're actually driving to your area to try to go see this one house we weren't able to make an appointment for. Oh, funny you should say that. I thought you weren't looking at houses yet.
I think my problem with that call, Dale, is I probably would have said, what? Because I would have been so dumbfounded by it.
You're what?
What? You know, I probably would. I was so thrown off when I heard that. But yeah, it's really important. So I'm not going to even play the rest of this call. We've got the gist of it. But here's what I think the audience hopefully is going to get from this. Basically, this person answered a bunch of questions and ended up with, hey, whenever you come to Arkansas, wouldn't it be great for us to see each other? No. Find out the area that she wants. Find out the price point that she wants. Get some builders. I don't care if you ever want to build or not. You know what? I've got two builders who have expertise in this. Bring value. Now, honestly, between you and I want this person to come here and I want to find them. And this is another thing I'm going to say. On the phone, I'm probably during this phone call, I'm probably looking up and seeing if there's any properties that have multiple properties on the same property. And I'm probably trying to say, hey, by the way, I was just looking in our MLS. I'm going to send you this property. Tell me if I'm anywhere close. I don't actually expect them to buy that property, but I want to, again, show them that I'm an agent who's going to go out of my way to give them what they need. Everything that I'm doing right now is focused, and this is what I'm training, and it feels like you're doing similar, on how am I going to provide value, because now I can't say I work for free.
Absolutely. And I, to be honest with you, I've never told people that I worked for free. I've never trained to tell people that we work for free at all. The only thing that we would say in the past might be if a buyer sort of pushed back about signing a buyer broker relationship agreement, it would be like, well, hey, you know, 99% of the time my fee is paid by the seller anyway. So it's not like, you know, it doesn't really matter. And honestly, when they object, in my experience, when they object to the buyer broker relationship agreement, it always was much more about, are you the agent I want to work with? Versus, and if I don't like you down the road, can I stop working with you? Right? Yeah. It never, in my experience, it wasn't often about, on the buyer broker relationship agreement, it said, here's what I charge for commission. and I will accept it from the seller if it's offered. If it's not, you're responsible for paying it. It's always said that, right? So let's not digress into that one because we got a show in the can, as they say. And Brian, you just cannot jam too much amazing knowledge into one person's brain in one day, right? So we got to pace these people.
Got to pace yourselves.
Yeah, and they're still reeling from your shirt today. So, you know, it's a lot.
Put in the comments how much you guys love my shirt. There we go.
Please comment down below if it's yay or nay on Brian's shirt.
Surely they'll comment about my shirt.
Thanks for joining us today. Cash Call, Dale Archdeacon, Brian Curtis. Listen, if you want us to review one of your calls, and we will make it anonymous, we won't embarrass you, just click the link in the description. You can upload a call and we'll play the call. If it's a good one, we will play the call. We'll give you feedback. And again, we won't make you cry, I promise, or embarrass you. And if you want to potentially be a guest on the show with me, where I review your calls live with you, you can also click the link in the description and come and join us. Thanks for checking us out today.
Thanks, everybody.